Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy, coming to you live from the Mobile Kia Studios. Everybody's at their house except Wendy. Wendy's back at the actual Kia Studios, keeping us on the air, which is excellent. It is April 1st, which means it's April Fool's Day, kind of. Don't prank anybody. We're just doing dad jokes, okay? Now, here's the thing about the dad jokes, though, Randy. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, they're hilarious.
Right.
But some folks are sending in, I don't know, what would be a dad joke? What's like the next step after dad joke that's a little off color? Like, you know, one
dirty
that you
old
might,
man jokes?
Yeah, it's like a dirty old man joke. Yeah, like some of the jokes that are coming in are dirty old man jokes.
Right.
And we can't tell those on the air.
Like, yeah, they know that.
They're really funny, but we can't tell them.
Yeah, they know that, but they just want to send them anyway.
Yeah, which is fine. And I'm laughing at the ones that are unable to go to air. But, you know, it's dad joke day for April Fool's Day, because April Fool's Day pranks are banned for this year. Because
yes.
We don't need any of that. But somehow, though, the month of March came to an end. And a lot of people are posting on social media those little memes of you know, a picture of someone on March 1st that looks young and happy, and then they find a picture of that same person when they're older and haggard, or maybe from a movie where they look haggard or something like that on March 31st. That's a very accurate portrayal of what March did to all of us, I think.
Oh, my God, Wendy. That was bad.
What did Wendy say? Come on.
Next time, say it again. Oh, Wendy, they can't hear Wendy. Next time I see outside, it's going to be May. Okay.
Yes. Okay. Wendy's just waiting to get the NSYNC meme dad joke out there on April 1st, and it only took her till 11 o'clock on April 1st to get that in. That's fantastic. All right. That's keep so sending the jokes in at TBM929 or at RandyMac81 or at Wendy Radio or at Brian_Gebhardt if you don't mind using an underscore and a Twitter handle, and we'll read them on the air. Coming up in about 25 minutes, Roddy Nabalsi going to join us from UGASports.com. He was a part of Kirby Smart's conference call yesterday with local media, talking about all things Georgia football. I mean, they would have been, what, a week into spring practice right now? If things had gone normally. Obviously, they aren't. Some schools actually, I mean, Georgia Tech had started spring practice. They had a couple days of spring practice.
You're right.
So I think they're maybe a small advantage for the schools that got to get out there for a day or two, but I don't know. I don't know how much of a difference that's going to make. Kirby talked about all of this and how it's affecting him and how they're trying to deal with it, and answered some questions about his football team too. So we'll talk to Roddy about that coming up in 20 minutes. The Wendy Zone at 11:40.
Hey.
Wendy has a very funny clip from Joe Buck and a very funny question to follow that up with. We'll get to it at 11:40. Before we do anything else, though, let's get to an NFL no huddle.
We're going no huddle.
With the midday show, no huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Let's go now, let's go!
NFL No Huddle brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep warm. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision Furnace Tune-Up. Another way they make you smile. And let's start here, because this actually was in What's Trending, but I forgot to read it. The NFL owners formally approved a plan on Tuesday to expand the postseason to 14 teams. And that begins in the upcoming NFL season. So instead of just six teams from each AFC, NFC getting in, now seven teams get in. Dan Quinn would have had one more playoff appearance as the Falcons coach had this been the rule when he started as the Falcons coach. His first year, right, they would have made the playoffs as a seven seed. I mean, I don't know. I like it. It works for me. But I know that some people are upset with it because they feel like it cheapens the regular season in some way.
A little bit. A little bit, but
yeah.
I mean, it's not the end of the world. Did you hear that they're trying to play one of them on Nickelodeon, which is
I did
different?
Hear that. I did hear that. I thought that was an April Fool's Day joke yesterday. I thought that was like an early April Fool's Day joke.
It still might be.
But it was being reported from a lot of different outlets. I know I was really careful with that because I was like, all right, that doesn't sound real. That sounds like it's like a very wholesome, like family friendly, not going to offend anybody April Fool's Day joke. And again, it still might be. You're right. But there was a lot of outlets, like a lot of reputable outlets running with that yesterday. So whether it's true or not, it's a really funny idea. And if they were to broadcast a game on Nickelodeon, they said they were going to do their own. I mean, the report was they would do their own broadcast. It wouldn't just be a simulcast from whatever network it was on. It wouldn't be Jim Nantz and Tony Romo.
Well, it would be Brian saying it is. Brian said Nickelodeon broadcast is going to simulcast.
Oh, it is going to be a simulcast.
Yes. Okay.
Damn it. That sucks.
Yeah.
I was hoping it would be like, I don't know, dust off some of the old game show hosts, like Mark Summers.
Well, you got to have Mark Summers up to the Double Dare guy.
Mark Summers is a Double Dare guy. Bring him. Bring back, I don't know, Mike O'Malley from, what was that show that Mike O'Malley did on Nickelodeon back in the day?
I can't even remember that one.
Who was the Legends of the Hidden Temple guy? He could be in there, too.
I think y'all, I didn't watch that. Y'all watched that one.
Yeah, I think that was probably a little outside of your age range. You were probably a little too old to be watching Nickelodeon at that time. But yeah, like Mark Summers, bring back Mo. She was the sideline reporter from the Aggro Crag anyway. Put her down on the sidelines. She could do the sidelines. I don't know. Let Keenan and Kel get in the booth, you know?
Two of the corniest. Dude, that was the corniest show ever, man.
Sorry. What, you don't like Good Burger?
Oh, hell no, dude.
Come on, Randy.
Oh, dude. Now, you want to talk about lame? Bruh, they were lame.
Yeah, they probably were. But you know what?
Yeah, they were lame.
Kenan Thompson, like of all people, Kenan Thompson has had an incredible career. Like to go from everything that he did on Nickelodeon, I think he's now the longest tenured cast member in the history of Saturday Night Live.
Dude, he's done his thing, man.
He's been a huge part of what Saturday Night Live has done the last 20 years. And he's never like a huge star, but he's such an important member of the cast. Anyway, I guess it will be a simulcast on Nickelodeon. There will be 14 teams going to the playoffs. If the Falcons are the 7 seed this year, is that good enough?
That's a good – I mean, we dabbled that around. Is it cool for them just to make the wild card? Is that enough for Dan Quinn to keep his job? Is that enough success right there? And I don't know. I don't know. Very rarely do you see coaches who make the playoffs. It has happened, but coaches who make the playoffs are fired or let go or whatever. So that'd be the interesting thing, because what is the mandate this year for Arthur Blank? And I think that's the most important thing. What's his mandate in order for you to say this is a successful career? Just getting the 7th seed?
Yeah.
You're in the playoffs. You're getting to the second season, and you're giving yourself an opportunity.
I think it depends on what they do when they get there. I think if they get that 7 seed at 9-7 or whatever the record would be to get in there, and then you get kind of smacked around in the wild card round, then that's just not good enough for me. But, I mean, 7-9 back-to-back seasons wasn't good enough for me, and they didn't ask what you and I thought. So it doesn't really matter what we think. But if you get into the playoffs with whatever record it would be and you get trounced in the first round, to me that's, as a 7 seed, almost just as bad as not making it anyway. Get in the playoffs as a 7 seed and go on a run, great. Because it's all about context. I mean, we knew that going into last season, and that's why it's hard to go into the season and say 7-9 is definitively in concrete, not good enough, you will get fired. Well, when you start 1-7, I guess, and then you go 6-2 in the second half of the season, you have 2 good road wins, I guess that's good enough for the ones to make the decisions. And I understand that there is context in seasons, but I don't know. At the end of the day, the record tells the story, and if you're not in the playoffs, then you're not in the playoffs. Now, here's a guy that I don't know how much they expect from him. Justin McCray was signed by the Falcons last week, one of sort of the later free agent signings. He was on the radio station yesterday talking about what his role might be next year.
Honestly, I feel most comfortable inside. That's what I played in college for the most part. So, guard, center. But just from having to do it so often in my career in the NFL, I'm not opposed to playing tackle at all either.
So, again, that's Justin McCray, one of the Falcons' free agent signings. He's an offensive lineman who can play all three offensive line positions. He can play tackle, guard, and center. I would imagine, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but I would imagine he's brought in a way to at least compete for that left guard spot, right?
He's basically here as a replacement for Wes Schweitzer. I mean, because Wes can play center also.
And, yeah, you know, just they to don't, do it all really, back up.
Just to do it all back up, man. I mean, that's what he is. He's a versatile backup lineman who, in a pinch, you can get a couple starts out of him. I don't think he's your ideal who you want to be your starting left guard, but if he's the best on your roster, then you got to play him. But I think he's more or less he's going to be that sixth or seventh offensive lineman who, if something does happen, that he can go in a pinch and help you out.
Okay, so bottom line is, because this is what I was getting at, he's not going to stand in the way of your guy, Matt Gono.
No, Matt Gono is going to be the starting left guard.
Okay.
All right. Okay, I mean, he might not end up being the starting left guard. I think he should be, and my man Dave Archer somehow agrees with me.
Well, it's just two guys who know football. That's all.
I mean, that's all. That's all I mean. But
just two former NFL football players knowing the game of football. That's all that is.
Yeah. I honestly like to know. I mean, who knows what's going to happen there? But, yeah, I mean, you got to have some depth on the offensive line because, I mean, what are you going to do with Carp or what's the other guy's name?
Jamon Brown.
Jamon Brown. I mean, are both of those guys going to be on your roster again? I mean, they showed you that they weren't the answer last year.
Mm-hmm. I also wonder, and I was going back and forth with a couple people about this in the first hour because I'm so adamant that the Falcons have to draft defensive linemen with two of their first three picks or two of their first four picks, whatever. Get me an edge rusher and get me a tackle and improve your defensive line. Get to the quarterback and don't be the second worst team in the NFL at sacking the quarterback like you were last year. But then people push back and say, hey, the offensive line's not any good either. Maybe they need to draft an offensive lineman with one of the first couple picks. I'm not opposed to that. I'm not. But the way I'm looking at it is you drafted two offensive linemen in the first round last year, and one of them was hurt for most of the year, and the other one was not good, and that's Caleb McGarry. You have to put faith in those guys being better. Like, you can't give up on those two guys after 1 year, after their rookie seasons.
No, you can't do that. But they're also at a—they're both at a disadvantage with this time off right here because they're not getting a chance to work with coaches and everything. So, I mean, I mean, when people talk about going with offensive linemen in the first round, even if Andrew Thomas is there, I'm like, what do you? Well, I mean, that makes no sense right there because I don't—I look at it as a wasted pick because.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to do? I mean, so many people think it's just so easy. Oh, just move him to guard. I mean, it's not that simple. I think people really think it's like, okay, you can go play there and we'll draft Andrew Thomas and put him on the right. It's really not that simple. But a lot of people just think it is when it isn't. But, I mean, you're going to have two starting young offensive line. You want to put another one on that line?
Hey,
really?
Right. I know that's another great point is – you did that last year, and it didn't work out, hopefully because they were young. Hopefully an offseason, and I know it's a weird offseason, but an offseason and a year of tape in Caleb McGarry's case and a year of growing more into your NFL body and working out and all that stuff maybe will make you a better player in your second year. I think we are all, and fair or not, relying on the excuse of or the reasoning of those guys were both rookies, they'll be better. Like, you don't have time to do that again. Like, if you draft an offensive lineman in the first round, and whether it's whoever it is, and you're saying, well, he's a rookie, he'll be better next year, they don't have time for next year.
Exactly.
Like, these guys can't be making decisions like that. At the same time, the offensive line wasn't any good last year. The quarterbacks got sacked 50 times combined between Matt Ryan getting sacked 48 times and Matt Schaub getting sacked twice. Matt Ryan also got hit another 100-plus times on top of that, so he was on his back 150 times last year, which you don't want for your $150 million quarterback if you're going to win football games. So I agree with people when they say you have to focus on that. Look, if the Falcons spent their first three draft picks on defensive linemen and offensive linemen only, I'd be okay with that. Now, I know they have other needs, but if you're just going to focus on the trenches, that's fine with me because you're bad in the trenches right now. You are, you're bad.
You're very bad. You're very bad in the trenches, and you got to upgrade in both of those positions. And I'm not even, you know, as much as I keep on hollering Matt Gono, hell, I don't know how he'll play a left guard if he's given an opportunity.
Sure.
He might stink too. You don't know, but everything is a process. And because you're not allowed to have these OTAs and mini camps and off-season conditioning programs, that's taking away the opportunity of guys to possibly get coached up and learn different things, man. I mean, everybody's at a disadvantage right now, and that's the one thing we were talking about it yesterday, Bunk. Which teams have the advantage is more or less the Falcons. You can put them in one of those positions because they have their core, they have their message, they have the same system, and they have a lot of the same guys. I mean, not saying that they're good or better than another team. All I'm saying is that it's not going to be that hard when they officially do allow these guys to get back in their building because they know so much of the system and everything already.
Yeah, and look, I'm never going to sit here and try to say a transition from college to the NFL is easy at any position. Of course it isn't. Like, doing anything in the NFL at a starting level is, like, one of the hardest things that you can possibly do. But I do think that some positions transition better. And if you're looking at that from a Falcons perspective and knowing that you're not going to have a normal offseason to maybe be able to get guys up to speed, is it fair to say that pass rushers transition better into the NFL than offensive linemen do? Faster?
I would say that, because the one thing about if you're starting as an offensive lineman, it's hard to limit what you can do because the defense won't dictate the fact that you can be limited. As far as, you know, they can send blitzes. Now, if you got a young pass rusher, you can just say, okay, get in a six technique and rush the passer. You know what I'm saying?
Here's what you can do. Do what you can do while we work on the stuff you can't do yet. Exactly. As an offensive lineman, if you're Caleb McGarry was pretty good run blocking and was pretty good pass protection if the guy tried to go inside. Now, if the guy made him go outside, move his feet, and have to be fast, well, that's how Dante Fowler ate Caleb McGarry alive that day. He just used his speed and got around him. So you can't hide what you can't do. Like, you can't have the right tackle in there only on rundowns, as opposed to a pass rusher where you can just put him in situations where he can thrive. I don't know. It's difficult. It's a really difficult situation, and this gets us back to, like, our main thesis, our main starting point of the Falcons offseason, which is, they have a lot of problems to fix. I don't know that you can fix every single problem in one offseason. You just have to identify the most fixable problems and the things that you can go after that'll make you a better team. I don't know. I don't know that you can get away with drafting an offensive lineman in the first round and taking into account what this offseason is going to be, not having everybody in there. Hey, Chris Godwin's given his number to Tom Brady. Free of charge, or at least as far as we know.
Man, no.
Out of respect.
No,
out of respect.
I get it. I understand that, and I love the fact that that's the reason is because he respects the hell out of Tom Brady that he gave him his number. But ain't knowing the hell Tom Brady is getting nothing for free for me. And it ain't happening, Cap. I mean, damn, can I get like a just give me a pair of Uggs then. I mean, something. Give me a lifetime supply of Uggs. Give me, because he's like a.
You ever worn a pair of Uggs in your life?
Like just slippers, yeah. But like some boots? Hell no.
I'm just asking.
Oh, no. No, pimping. I ain't wearing no furry boots, man. <Mm-mm>. No, man. I can't do it.
The slippers are comfortable, though.
Oh, the slippers are comfortable as hell. But you think I'm going to work? No, man. I ain't wearing no furry boots.
Oh, man. I'd pay so much money to see Randy McMichael at some Uggs. Don't they have like special color Uggs, too? You can get some like sparkly ones. That's what I want to see.
Yourself in or me?
Well, not me. I wouldn't do that. I'm too manly for that, but you maybe.
Exactly. No, never that pimping.
Okay. Rodney DeBalsi going to join us next from UGA. Rodney DeBalsi going to join us next from UGASports.com. Kirby Smart met with the media yesterday, had a lot to say, a lot of really interesting stuff. We'll find out what exactly he said from Roddy coming up next right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Wednesday, live from the Mobile Kia Studios, broadcasting from home, social distancing, self-quarantining, and I imagine you probably are too. Thanks for letting us be with you, either on 92.9 The Game on the radio or on radio.com, however you're listening to us. We appreciate it, as always. We're 20 minutes away from the Wendy Zone. Wendy Adams is going to join us for the Wendy Zone. And Wendy's got a very funny clip from Joe Buck, which I think is going to lead to a funny conversation. So we'll get to that in 20 minutes. Back into the most important audio in the world at the top of the noon hour as well. But Kirby Smart met with the media yesterday virtually, as everyone's meeting with anybody right now, and obviously discussed a lot of different things that are going on with his football team. Here to help us react to what we learned yesterday from Kirby and maybe look ahead to what this offseason is going to look like from UGASports.com is Roddy DeBalsi on the WadeFord.com hotline. How are you, Roddy?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Good, good, good.
We're doing okay. I mean, as good as anybody, I suppose, just kind of hanging out at home like we're all supposed to be doing. And I know like Kirby Smart is doing. You guys had a chance to talk to him yesterday. What were some of the big concerns or some of the struggles that he's talking about having to deal with in this time, trying to get ready for a season and I guess, sort of have a semi-normal spring. It won't be normal, of course, but what were some of the concerns he was discussing yesterday with you guys?
Well, we kind of asked him, you know, which position would be the most affected by this. You know, he's got some guys that are returning, and his biggest thing was the quarterbacks. You know, he's trying to replace Jake Fromm. He's got a new offensive coordinator, who will also be his new quarterbacks coach. So he's got a lot of moving parts there. And he said, you know, Jamie Newman was coming along fine, and Stetson Bennett was getting work, and you know, Dwan Mathis is finally cleared. So Dwan was really excited about this spring and getting a chance to go up there and show the coaches that, hey, you know, you recruited me to come play quarterback at Georgia. I want to be that guy. I don't care that Jamie Newman's here. I don't care that Stetson Bennett's, you know, had more years than I am. I'm finally healthy, and I'm going to show you what I can do. I mean, it's quite the coup when you peeled him away from Ohio State. So Dwan's, you know, chomping at the bit, and now all of a sudden those quarterbacks can't work at that time. You know, they can learn the plays, and they can learn, you know, the system that Monken wants to put in. But as Kirby Smart said, there's no substitute for reps. You know, you've got to get that timing down. You've got to work out the timing with those receivers. So that was one of his big concerns. And Kirby's other concern, and now I might say that he was complaining about it. He wasn't. That's just, you know, me being a crappy journalist, kind of putting words in his mouth. But he pointed out that, you know, some schools had already had a week of spring practice. You know, they'd already had some spring practices in, whereas the way Georgia's spring break fell on the calendar when they decided to do theirs, they not only didn't get any spring practices in, but they also lost two major weekends for recruiting. And there were some big-name five-star guys, you know, and top, you know, 100 players in the nation who wanted to come to Georgia on March 21st, who wanted to come to Georgia on March 28th, who wanted to come the weekend prior. And the coaches were thinking, you know, hey, we got plenty of time. We're going to start practices, and we're going to have all these guys come through, and they'll get to actually watch practice. All that went out the window, and so they lost two huge weekends. And, you know, Kirby is a monster recruiter, and losing those two recruiting weekends, I think, hurt him in his soul. I mean, that hurt him. So those were his issues, you know, the lack of face-to-face recruiting and, you know, what's he going to do with his quarterbacks.
And you know where, Roddy, you know where he got that from. That sounds like such a Nick Saban type thing to complain about. But he's right. Hey, Roddy, how are these meetings going? Because if I heard it right, it was like 2 hours a week. Is that how it's going? Or how are they actually sitting in with these kids in the meetings?
Well, they do get 2 hours a week of like instruction time, but they cannot say, hey, I need you to run, you know, 3 miles today. I need you to lift this. You know, they can't give them any workout regimens, but they can meet with them and say, okay, here, let's look at this videotape. Let's look at this. Here's what we're going to do in these situations. You know, they can coach them, if you will, for 2 hours a week. But here's the thing, they can talk to them anytime. You know, they can reach out to them. Hey, you know, how are you doing? How's your schoolwork going? Stuff like that. But actual instruction time, they're limited to 2 hours a week. And they, you know, Kirby said, look, the kids got it. You know, they're the ones that are telling us how to use Zoom. They're the ones that are telling us how to use all this new technology. So Right. The coaches are the ones that are trying to find a way. The you know, players are fine because they understand the technology. So it's really about, you're putting in the stuff that you wanted to have done with those 6 hours, you know, that they were allowed to have each week prior to this thing going down. So some of the other conferences were already doing it. They were already letting the coaches, you know, have meetings with the players, even though the players weren't on campus. And finally, the SEC said, oh, yeah, well, we should probably do that too. So they changed their rules, and the coaches are now, you know, meeting with the players virtually, as everybody else is doing. But there's still, as Kirby says, there's no replacement for reps.
Roddy Nabalsi joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline from UGASports.com, reacting to some of what we learned yesterday from Kirby Smart as he met with the media. And this question may be impossible to answer, but I mean, I don't know. That's kind of where we are right now. We're just theorizing on things. Is there like a type of coach or a type of coaching staff that is better equipped to deal with this situation? And what I mean by that is, you know, you're only able to communicate with these guys virtually. You're only able to be in front of them for 2 hours a week, like you said. I mean, you've got to do these weird Zoom conferencing film sessions. Like, is there a type of staff or a type of individual that is better equipped at dealing with this situation?
For me, it's the older coaches. I know that sounds weird when we're talking about new technology. But when you have I don't want to say older coaches. I want to say more experienced coaches. The experienced coaches, you know, they know how to, they've seen stuff thrown at them. You know, they've seen issues. If you were a coach during the 9/11 thing and you had to sit there and address your team following that, so, you know, say, hey, look, you know, we're not having games this weekend and we're going to come back in a couple weeks. And, you know, if you've been through that before, you know, a lot of these kids, you know, 18, 19, 20 years old, they've never seen anything like this.
Right.
So I think if you can say, hey, look, you know, I know your world has been upended, but if these coaches can exude that confidence, that idea that, hey, things will be back to normal. Things are going to happen. Here's how we deal with that. You know, and that's not a shot against the younger, inexperienced coaches. I just think that the older guys, you know, they have more life experience that they can rely on, and that comes across to their players.
And right to that point, the different type of coaches that Kirby has assembled, because a lot of these coaches, I mean, a good portion of, especially on the offensive side, are new guys. Were you, because when he said Coach Mokum was going to be the quarterback coach, was that like a big surprise or something?
No, we had already reported okay. that when we told them Mokum was going to be the coach. He was going to be the new offensive coordinator. And we knew that James Coley was going to be leaving, so we knew that that was his thing. So it wasn't a surprise to our readers. I mean, I don't think that Kirby had ever come out and said that, and I don't think there's a little press release that they put out, but that wasn't a shock to us. But that's, I mean, that's Munkin's bailiwick. I mean, he's been great with the quarterbacks that he's had. You know, he's a quarterback's coach, so I don't think that's strange for him. I do think that getting Matt Luke in there as your, you know, former head coach at Ole Miss and your offensive line coach, having him in that room, having Buster Faulkner as a graduate assistant over there, Adele McGee, Cortez Hankin, that is a solid group of offensive coaches. I mean, that's and I mean, Todd Hartley, I know he's a young guy, but the connection he has to the players, I just think that that is one heck of a offensive line room. And I think, I mean, excuse me, offensive coaches room. And I really think that that's what Georgia needed right now. That's, you got to be excited about what they could do if we have a season.
Did Dan
Don't
Lanning
do
get a?
Don't do
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? You know what? Let me ask about that in a way. Is there a date or sort of a time frame that you see as necessary to have things resumed in order for a season to be viable? Like, I'm not asking you when that's going to happen because no one knows. But like, is there a period of time where you say, all right, if we're able to resume some semblance of normalcy by X date, then I can see a football season actually happening?
Well, that, it's funny you say that because that is the number one thing that I've been digging on, and I've spoken to a lot of guys who were in these SEC meetings. You know, the SEC office is having meetings with coaches around the league every day. They're talking about this stuff every day. And I've spoken to quite a few of them, and the one thing they're trying to do is figure out, you know, that date that you say, if we don't have it done by this date, you know, X has to happen. And here are two things that I did not realize were a problem. One was that the vendors are backed up. Because I didn't, yeah, I was like, what are we talking about vendors? Apparently, you know, you have to have all the helmets reconditioned. Well, you also have to have the shoulder pads reconditioned. The second part was those guys were backed up last year. So you know, your equipment guys who are trying to send all this stuff off to get these, get everything reconditioned for your players who your, you know, safety is your job number one, they might have issues getting all this stuff together before the season starts because they were already backed up last year, and now they're backed up even further because, you know, everyone's self-quarantining, staying at home, social distancing. So these the vendors for these schools are they're not in production right now. So but talking to people within the SEC, they said, look, even if we have to have a truncated season, even if we have to go to just a conference schedule and drop everything out of conference, even if we have to delay the season, we are going to have the season. I mean, they are just adamant that they'll have it in some form or another. And they're not going to have a situation like with baseball where there's never going to be a 2020, you know, College World Series champion. They're just, you know, they cancel it. There's no, you know, final, there's no March Madness Championship. When you've got this many millions, I mean, what was it, $43 million that the SEC gives to each school from the SEC network money? They're going to play this thing come hell or high water.
Yeah. So Kirby's not a Tiger King guy, huh?
No. he can't stand incompetence. I mean, you have these people who are just absolutely crazy.
Yeah, he's right.
I'm sure it just drives him mental, you know. He just can't stand to see people who can't get their crap together, so he's going to lose his mind. He's like, nope, can't watch this. I'd kill all those people in 2 seconds.
That makes perfect sense. Hey, Roddy, we appreciate it, man. Stay safe.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks for having me, guys. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Roddy DeBalsi there from UGASports.com. A lot of interesting stuff in there. Certainly didn't know anything about the vendors. That's an interesting wrinkle to this that adds a complication.
Yeah, it does, man. You know what? But you know it's not complicated. Hey, Atlanta United supporters, we are going to replay Atlanta United's broadcast from big matches in 2018 season. Okay, Road to the MLS Cup broadcast over the next 3 weekends. So you get to hear Mike and Jason. Tune in Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Atlanta United at LA Galaxy from April 2018. Wow, that should be a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, great idea. I'm really glad that we're doing that. We'll come back. We'll get to the Wendy Zone. Wendy Adams is going to join us coming up next. So don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. Be respectful of Wendy. She's a lady, all right?
She's a lady.
Behold. A lady.
I'm a lady.
All right, everybody stand up. It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to the Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Wednesday. It's April 1st, which means April Fool's Day. We're not doing any pranks today, though. Send us your dad jokes. We're reading dad jokes on the air. We'll continue to do that throughout the show. Thanks again to Roddy DeBalsi for joining us from UGASports.com in the last segment. How's it going over there, Randy?
Hey, man, you know me, brother. I'm cooling, man. I'm just good. You know, just looking out this backyard. I know you want to come over Friday, and I'm going to attempt to clean this thing up for us. But if it ain't clean, you ain't coming. You know how your mama would let nobody come in your dirty house. I ain't going to let you sit in my dirty backyard.
But here's what I said, and I'll say it again, and I mean it. Yeah. I'll come over and help. I don't care. I don't have anything to do.
I know you will. But, you know, yeah. I got it. But let me just, you know, maybe get this lazy behind boy of mine up off his behind and get up here and help me.
You do have a number of children that could that could help you with that dude, process.
I ain't seen them in like a day and a half.
Any of them?
Hey, I mean, they come when they come down? When it's down to eat.
All right. Yeah. I think guys. Wendy is. Hey, Wendy. How are you?
Hey, Wendy.
I'm here. I'm in the studio. It's so lonely up here.
So here's how it works because Wendy is actually the only one of us that's at the Kia Studios. The rest of us are broadcasting from home, and Wendy is at the Kia Studios keeping us on the air, but because the producer's microphones don't work, Wendy has to walk into the other studio to do her segment. But here's the other wrinkle to it today. Like, this is how crazy it's gotten today. So Wendy is in the host studio doing this segment using microphone one. But microphone one doesn't have access to use audio. So when Wendy goes to play audio in just a minute, she's going to have to go over to microphone two and play. That's how complicated things are to get. But you know what? It's worth it for the Wendy Zone.
So, what the hell is going on there?
This is
going
to be worth it, too. It's a process because you guys are using your remote studio. So microphone two will not work because, Randy, you are on microphone two. So I can't use microphone two where I can use the audio. And we don't have a station to play audio from microphone one, which is really convenient. So here we are, and this is the process, and it's going to be just fine.
It's all going to work out great, and it's all brought to you by Wellstar. More than healthcare, it's people care. Hi, Wendy.
We could use some people care. Well, we are all at home trying to figure out what to do, and that includes Joe Buck. And I don't know if you've watched some of his videos, but he's doing play-by-play of everything. So he's actually asked fans to submit videos of him to do play-by-play and then ask for donations to a charity with coronavirus outbreak and everything that's going on right now. So he's done some pretty wacky clips. He's made one with chicken wings, some dude throwing darts. He's done marble racing. But there was a very interesting request, and I'm going to have Joe Buck tell you what it was. But I'm going to have him do that in just 1 second. Hang on.
As Wendy moves over, how quick is Wendy?
Yeah, I've had a couple of submissions from, let's say,
here comes Joe
a man
Buck.
And a woman that just didn't seem appropriate to put my voice to at this stage of my life.
Is it happening on the radio?
Maybe later in life, but not
it's
now. So I look at these videos very carefully, and I pick the ones that seem the most wholesome to put my voice to.
Okay, Whoa. Well, Andy and Randy may not have been able to hear it, but you at home, this is awesome. This is fantastic.
Luckily, we know what he says.
Yes. So if you couldn't hear it out there, and Andy and Randy couldn't hear it, Joe Buck has gotten some not safe for work offers to do play-by-plays, and I'm talking about adult videos. But it led to a very interesting question, and I feel like one that we could all have an answer to. What famous call would best fit an adult video someone could star in?
Ooh.
Or one that you would star in. Like, what's the most...
I don't need to visualize all that.
We don't have to. I mean, it's up to you to decide what you want to visualize or not. I mean, you don't have to if you don't want to.
Do you have a color analyst next to you? And here we are, folks.
Yeah. I want Jim Nance and Tony Romo, first of all.
Absolutely.
Because I want the cream of the crop broadcast crew.
Well, Tony Romo's going to be able to describe it before it happens.
Yeah, he's going to tell what's going to happen before it happens.
Exactly, exactly. And down go, we're about to get in trouble.
Yeah, down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier would be a great one if his or her last name was Frazier.
Yeah, man. Like I said, my dear.
Do you believe in miracles?
Yes.
That would have been the first, like when I was 18, the first time. Believe in miracles would have been a perfect call for it.
Yeah, I'll see you again tomorrow night.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That's a perfect call.
I wish I had more audio because we could use Steve Holman's bang.
Booyah.
Would have been perfect.
Or Mike Conti's score.
Score.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man.
I don't believe what I just saw.
Oh,
that's
man.
Pretty good. If your name was Jerome, send it in, Jerome.
Have you ever in your life seen something like that?
Yeah, I think those all work. Now, I want to know if someone was going to be calling, you know, if you had a play-by-play calling that moment for you, who's the play-by-play announcer that you would want in the booth?
I don't know. I mean, probably like a Spanish soccer analyst.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
Go! Yeah.
Just goes on and on and on.
Yeah, you know I think I'll go for that one.
You know what we should do? We should. I asked it on my Twitter account just now, so we should take some of those suggestions and maybe play them tomorrow.
Sure.
And just get, you know, sort of a visual of what could potentially be happening.
Brian makes a great point. Gus Johnson on the call would be perfect because Gus Johnson is the most like excitable and over the top play by play guy. And I don't know. I think that would be fitting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like Pat Summerall would be boring. Like,
yeah, sure.
Pat be boring. Yeah. As great as he was, but yeah. Or Howard Cosell when he did the Muhammad Ali. It is over. It is over.
That would be fitting.
I don't know.
It just depends on, you know, who you are and
your style and
how that's going for you.
I'm very uncomfortable having this conversation with you.
Are you?
Yes.
Okay.
We can
move on.
I did have other audio to play, but
boom,
you guys aren't going to be able to.
Boom
goes the dynamite.
Boom goes the dynamite.
I did have other ones that accompanied audio, which y'all won't be able to hear, but our listeners could hear. But Larry David did have a very funny PSA. If you haven't checked it out, you should check it out. Shaq also firing back that he has him and Joe Exotic from Tiger King are not friends. So I would have played you that audio that you can't hear. So those are just some of the things that you guys could have looked forward to in the Wendy Zone if I had a better mechanism of getting that out there.
So Brian Gephardt with a good suggestion. Get mad about. Oh, someone's mad about what?
About the whole Shaq thing. I was like, get over yourself. Get over yourself.
Because if you haven't seen Tiger King, Shaq appeared on, I think it was episode 2 of Tiger King and went and visited Joe Exotic's zoo and was on camera and it seemed like they were friends, but he was just passing by and said he stopped in, so not friends.
Well, I mean, there was a lot of people that had photo shoots with those tigers and, I mean, it wasn't Joe Exotic, it was the other guy, the probably even weirder and creepier guy, Doc Antle, that was on all of the late night shows. Like, a lot of people used those guys exploiting tiger cubs and tigers to their advantage, took pictures and all kinds of stuff that probably didn't know exactly what was going on. I didn't know. I don't know what was going on with those guys.
I didn't
guys
know they had
the
tigers
scenes.
Like that. I didn't even know.
I just, you know, I understand why someone would want to take a picture with a cute tiger cub. I don't think that makes you a bad person. Now that you know all the details of it, you probably wouldn't do it now, knowing how bad those people are. But you didn't have all that information. You didn't know that Carol, what's her name, fed her husband to some tigers. I didn't know that.
Now we do know.
And now we do know. And now we know.
Nasty.
All right. A lot of suggestions coming in for play-by-play announcers.
Yes. Yes, we know this.
Pornography, which I think is great.
Get your mind out the gutters.
My mind is constantly in the gutter. We'll come back and get to the most important audio in the world. We will use some of the audio coming up next that Wendy was unable to use in the Wendy Zone. Look, man, we're flying by the seat of our pants here. We're trying to do the show as normal as possible, but sometimes there's technical difficulties with that. Anyway, great work in the Wendy Zone. We'll come back with the
Thanks,
noon hour
Wendy.
Right after this. Keep sending us your dad jokes, as it is April Fool's Day right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.